Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
And now, Hangar 56 Media presents Spike's Car Radio, a downloadable Cars and Coffee, hosted by writer, comedian, and automotive enthusiast Spike Ferriston. Now, here's Spike.
Playlist, Dire Straits, Mark Knopfler, lady writer. We're recording here in Baldwin Hills. It's Father's Day for us. It's Wednesday after Father's Day for you. How are you guys? Didn't you think when you first saw Mark Knopfler, didn't you guys think like that guy might be a social studies teacher and not a guitarist?
The world's ugliest rock and roll star.
Is he ugly?
He's ugly.
I just thought he looked like a teacher. But listen to the guitar.
He's fantastic. But I guess Phil Collins isn't exactly a rock god.
That's
either.
A geometry teacher.
Yeah. The other fellow, Rammstein, who got in trouble this week. Did you follow that story?
Hold up. And, you know, here's another one. Brothers in Arms. Have you ever heard? If you're in a car and you're driving late at night, maybe in the desert after midnight, put on this song, Brothers in Arms, and you'll have an experience. I've turned you guys off. I can't have you ruin my open with Mark Knopfler and Dire Straits. If you had headphones, you'd be listening right now. Wait a minute. Listen to this guitar. I'm going to let these guys chill out before we let them talk. Listen to this. There it is. That's our Mark Knopfler open. Welcome to Spike's Car Radio. All right, you idiots. It's Father's Day. None of us are with our families. Care to explain? Does anybody even want to go there? Nah.
It's better this way.
Mine's in New Jersey.
Mine's at home, but I love them, but I needed to get away. This was one, you know, every other year, you know, you just like, you know what I want for Father's Day? I need a break. I need a little break.
It was funny because we were texting earlier and I'm like, how you doing? You're like, I'm avoiding my family.
I was in the gym.
It was great.
It was about 8:45 and you texted me a picture of you smoking a cigar. 8:45 in the morning.
Hell yeah.
Disgusting.
Explain. And I sent you a picture of my elliptical and I said, I'm training my body. And you said, I already did that.
I did.
Were you lying?
No. I did 95 squats this morning. Had a good morning.
95 squats? That's your workout?
It was a good workout. I did some other stuff.
Wait. I lost you there. Your mic went dead.
That was the bulk of it. How's that?
Does that cigar help your bowels to move?
Hold on. Let's get into this 95 squats workout.
I did 20 as a warm-up, and then I did
three. What do you mean? You just squatted?
Yeah, doing some squats.
No, I did like not up poop. And down, like
yeah, like full, like you know, put your butt on your ankles
with any weight.
No weights. It's bad for your back, or it's bad for my back.
This
good
is
for
not a
back.
Workout.
Okay,
and then you lit up a cigar at what time?
Whenever we were texting, I just lit
8:30, 8:45.
Yeah, I'm still on like Austria time. I'm a little out of it. I woke
well,
up at like
good.
5.
That's true.
Yeah,
you're in a different time.
Yeah, I woke up at 5. I felt like a man though. I fixed two doors. with a Dremel tool.
Today?
Today.
Oh, that's good.
I looked on the...
That's a good day.
I looked on YouTube and it's like, you know, you can re-shim it with matchsticks and playing cards and then... Or if you have a Dremel tool and I just turn it off, I'm like, yep, make the hole bigger.
That's fantastic.
It was awesome. And they work. Yeah. And I sent a video to my wife of the doors working and she's like, I love you.
Wow.
It was great.
So. I fixed a stool last night in my kitchen.
Nice.
A stool?
A stool.
This is my opportunity to make a poop joke. Hey, stool.
Stay away from a guy who says, can I push in your stool?
We're going to do Dear Zuckerman with you later. And I spent, this is, you know, we had canceled this podcast. We had a lot of cancellations. We were with Jerry. He and I were so tired Saturday night. We came to Zuckerman's. We had dinner. We just couldn't talk. And I'm sorry. But he'll come back. We'll do a show. And then we were going to do this. We had to cancel because of poops. I'm up all night. I ate something bad.
I had diarrhea.
And I said, we're coming over anyways. So get yourself right. And here we are. We couldn't be stopped.
Not even diarrhea.
No, because I spent part of my Saturday, even though I was working all day, I spent an hour when I got home, exhausted, for Father's Day themed Dear Zuckerman letters. And I'm really excited about reading them out to you. So I'm excited about that.
And well, here we are.
Well, thank
diarrhea,
you for letting
squats,
me come over.
Stools. We got it all.
All right. First, Johnny, I got to pay you.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Woohoo!
You won the bet.
Yes.
F him.
It was quite a Le Mans.
It was great.
I'm very disappointed in Porsche's performance.
I'm just curious about it. I've heard nothing other than like, yeah, it went really poorly. I don't know what
75th anniversary and total, they laid an egg.
Glickenhaus. Little Glickenhaus. Jimmy Glickenhaus. Glick.
We've made fun of.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's an odd one.
I guess I did.
Yeah, but I mean,
but he beat him.
Sixth and seventh overall. You know, he beat not only Porsche but Peugeot as well.
Wow,
you know, major manufacturer.
Well, there again, I'm wrong there too.
And Cadillac did awesome. Third and fourth.
And Ferrari, was this their first year back?
Yeah, in 50 years in the top level. They, you know, in the GT class, they raced all the time, but top level. Last time was when Ford beat them, 68.
Wow.
And they didn't even show up for 69. And then the last time they won was 58 years ago.
Incredible.
Yeah. So it was a hell, just an amazing.
And what was it?
Race.
Ferrari, Toyota?
Ferrari, Toyota, Cadillac, Ferrari.
Wow. And so our buddy Scott Dixon.
Fourth.
You think that Cadillac's pleased with their result?
They're over the freaking moon.
Yeah.
So real quick. So this is Cadillac's first time back in 21 years. So the two cars that won,
what was that noise?
All right. I was a guy with a machete. The two cars that won were all wheel drive and the Cadillacs were rear wheel drive, as was the Porsche. So I think someone at Cadillac told me next year they'll be back with all wheel drive.
Wow.
So, you know, there was a balance of performance and they couldn't turn on the front axle until over 100 miles an hour. I can't remember what it was. It was 150 kilometers or 100 miles an hour or whatever.
Wow.
But still, it was an advantage, you know, because it's two different series.
It's
IMSA series and WEC. So anyways, WEC. Cadillac, they were over the moon. And Corvette 1 GT.
Wow.
And
how did that NASCAR do?
That's the hat I'm wearing. They, you know, they finished. They were like 39th overall.
Well, that in and itself
it's
is
an
a victory.
Accomplishment.
But if they hadn't had some, they like lost I can't remember the drive shaft or transmission they had to fix. They would have been like, you know, ahead of a lot of GT cars. They did really well. But the most popular car there without question, like it, louder than the Corvette, louder than the Cadillacs, which I thought was impossible.
Right.
It was just awesome. And like, everyone cheered. No one talked about anything else. It was just the best thing.
That's why they were there. I mean, that's why they were there in the 70s, right? Was to gin up interest and make the race interesting again.
But I say just dump LMP2, which is sort of like the rich guy gentleman racer class, and like bring in a NASCAR class. Just bring in like, you know, 8 NASCARs. LMP1 or whatever it's called now, hypercar, NASCAR, and then now it's GT3.
You could, I mean, I would totally agree with you on that. That racing in general needs to be simplified, and if you want to lure in people who aren't race fans, you've got to make it very simple for them to understand. And these classes with the letters and the numbers that I'm even having trouble following.
Yeah, you GTE know, and then GTE AM.
Just simplify.
Just NASCAR, Formula One.
Yes,
and,
sell
you know,
it.
Right, US versus the other guys. And
well, that's what the Camaro yes. was.
Level right. one, level two, and level three. I don't know. The blue, simplify. Right, and right, you'll right. have more people figuring it out and following it.
But it's even confusing. Like the unified hypercar class, technically, the whatever you call it, the nomenclature is LMH and then LMDH.
Right.
Which the D is for Daytona.
Yes.
And that's the Porsche and the Cadillac. But it's just, you know, it's just, it is confusing. I think that's why GTE's gone and now it's going to be GT3. Everyone knows what GT3 is. Even if you don't, you know, there's a car called a GT3. And so that's going to be, and that'll be cool. It'll open it up to more cars. And then the hypercar class next year, Lamborghini, BMW, Alpine, they're bringing in a car. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. Toyota might
hypercar
leave,
is but... a perfectly acceptable word to keep. But just refer yeah. to it everywhere. Hypercar class.
Hypercar class. Yeah, simplify. Well, they're going to say LMH because it's Le Mans.
Hypercar. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, good luck.
For but years, it was LMP1, Le Mans prototype class yes. 1, LMP2. And the LMP2 cars are cool, just nobody cares because they don't look like anything. And they don't have any brands associated with them.
Right.
So,
right.
Anyways, it was awesome. It was
well, great. Here it is, my Woo-hoo! Friend. A fresh $100 bill is being handed to you right now.
And just so everyone knows, I did offer to light my cigar with it, but Zuckerman's not letting his smoke because of his diarrhea.
I also have we'll buy $100 worth of chili burgers.
And I have 4 hours
of morning squats.
4 hours of tennis to get through. Let me do an ad here for
I'm gonna take
friends.
A picture of it.
Oh, look, there it is. I'll point to it. There you go. I have no problem paying you. You won that bet fair and square. With HelloFresh, you get farm-fresh pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. Figuring out what's for dinner is not at the top of anyone's summer activity list. HelloFresh delivers mouthwatering, chef-crafted recipes and fresh ingredients to your door so you can spend your summer doing, well, whatever you want. Need dinner ready like now? Look for a quick and easy recipe on the HelloFresh menu, including fast and fresh options ready in just 15 minutes. What is HelloFresh? It's a box that comes to your door with everything, and I'm talking about the veggies cut up. All of that stuff, all of that prep work is done for you. How do I know it works? I eat it. I'm a customer. It made my wife a chef, and no lie, we love it in the Ferriston house. So go to HelloFresh.com/ here this gets tricky 16Spike911 and use code 16Spike911 for 16 free meals plus free shipping. That's right, HelloFresh.com/16Spike911 for 16 free meals plus free shipping. And just remember, it's America's number one meal kit and the Ferriston family's number one meal kit. All right, let's talk about BMWs. Never thought you'd hear me say that. Never thought you'd hear me say, let's talk about BMWs, did you? Well, you did. Second only to, let's talk about 996s. But BMWs, I just had two press cars, and I loved both of them, and I thought we could discuss both of them. Have you probably driven them? I think you saw them.
M8 Competition Convertible.
M8 Competition Convertible.
Yeah.
And currently the one I have outside, the Daytona.
I have not.
Did you not see my car out there?
Oh, I haven't driven it.
Oh.
Yeah, I saw
it. The BMW M4.
Daytona Blue.
Daytona Beach Blue.
But that's a convertible.
Convertible.
Haven't driven it.
This is all on the way to driving the new M2, which I'm excited about. But I said, you know, if it's not ready, send me over stuff. And they've been just putting BMWs in my driveway. And I've been driving them and enjoying them. Let's start with the BMW M8, which is 4,560 pounds, but feels a little heavier. It's a very substantial deal. 617 horsepower, V8, 0-60 in, you know, 3 seconds.
Oh, I could have gotten there.
It is a super fast convertible sled for four people to sit in with no top. And it is a very substantial piece of machinery that I found beguiling in a lot of ways, because I'd never driven anything like it. I I've driven big, heavy coupes before, but when you take the top off, you start thinking about other cars like maybe Porsche Turbo S cab.
But what about, like, say, a Bentley or, like, the old S-Class convertible, which it sort of nominally competes with?
I have not driven those Bentley convertibles.
Oh, four-door convertibles are kind of, I mean, four-passenger convertibles are kind of a funny idea.
They are a funny idea.
Because, you know, I don't personally, for me, a convertible is a one-person car. Two at most. Four. Who wants to be in the back of the convertible?
It's really for people too lazy to open the trunk.
Now, so hold on. I do.
The back, you know.
Here's what I, and look, I like this car, and I want to describe it in a way because I think there are buyers out there who would really like this, but you have to understand what you're getting. One, like, for me, a convertible like you, Zuckerman, like you're saying, I do like putting my family in the back of it. The 992 convertible that we had was a perfect thing.
For munchkin children.
Yeah, or amputees, whatever you have whatever available to you. But
I got both. I got some new clients.
To me, it tilts more. The convertible tilts more towards a relaxing drive, right?
Yeah.
And though, so for me, I don't want 617 horsepower.
Loud.
This isn't even that loud. It's a very substantial thing, and it's a very fast thing, and it goes counter for me to the convertible lifestyle. Now, I think there are people out there who say, I want to be able to do everything. I want to smoke whoever I want to smoke. I want to put the top up and drive this thing hard. And then I want to put the top down and take the family out to dinner. This car hits all those buttons very, very well. Very well. I mean, the ride is a very big sedanish ride.
There's a better version of it called the 8 Grand Coupe, and it's like the swoopy four-door,
right?
Same engine, same thing, stretch wheelbase. That's a much better version. Does everything better.
Well, I dug this car. It's just not what I would look for in a convertible. Like, yeah, sure. I think Moise is the guy who would get this car and love it. Absolutely. He's
crashing
it.
All four corners.
He'd crash every part of it, yes.
They're big enough to crash everything.
With the top down, he could see behind him.
Yeah, and so this one was in the color of chalk. I'll throw up a picture of it. Beautiful interior. The car is gorgeous. Every time I walked to it, I loved it. You know, people love it on the road. It's $170,000. A lot of dough.
But a lot less expensive than a Bentley, right?
Yeah.
I mean, a Bentley for the 8-cylinder, probably for the convertible, $275,000 to start.
So it's a lot of car for the money in that class.
Yes.
What did you feel about the handling? Did it handle like a... You don't have a lot of context for BMWs, but it did it have a sportiness to its handling for a thing that size?
Yeah, but it felt heavy to me.
Yeah.
It was a heavy, fast thing, and it was fast. It's very, very fast. But it, you know, sometimes you get in cars that feel too big for the roads.
Right.
This kind of was that for me, just because I don't normally look for cars in this segment. So I can tell you, if I had seen it on the road, I would love the way it looks. And I did appreciate the way it drives. This is just a personal thing. For me, I wanted something that felt a little lighter, that I could throw my tennis bag in the back, and then it's just easier to get into, and that became the M4 that was dropped off.
But you're not alone in the size thing, because when that was racing in GT whatever, you know, it would race against 911s and Corvettes, but it's the coupe version is double the size. So there's all these memes where they'd like Photoshop the car 10 times bigger going around like the bus stop at Daytona and stuff.
Now, I'll tell you this. I drove it every day.
Yeah,
you know, press cars, I generally don't drive every day. Every single day, every single drive for 7 days, I drove it. So that, on some level,
means something.
I really liked it. Would I buy it? No, it's not a car for me. But this BMW M4 in Daytona Beach Blue that does 0 to 60 in 3.6 seconds, 504 horsepower, is only a few hundred pounds lighter, 4,306, but feels 1,000 pounds lighter.
Well, the new M4 is just awesome. I mean, especially the competition. Just awesome. Absolutely. And
this
awesome.
Did you see the interior of this car? It's a dark blue. It's a navy blue. So you've got a light blue and then a navy blue, a turquoise and a navy.
It's nice they have colorblind people specking the interiors of the BMW.
I like blue. I didn't mind, but our friend from New York went, "That's the wrong interior." And I went, "Well, it's not wrong." What I don't care for are the sport seats. Can you get regular seats in this car?
Not in the competition.
Not in the competition.
Are the literally the best seats for canyons, and nothing on earth is more uncomfortable on the 405.
Right.
If you have your wallet in your back pocket, you're done for.
It's just. I didn't mind it. I mean, I don't mind getting in. It's just a little hard to get
this
out.
This is the one middle thing. It's got the weenie fiber. Thing.
Yes.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. They're great in the canyons. It's like you're.
Would I be able to pop that out and put a racing harness in there? Is that what that's there for?
No. It's just to mimic like a 4-point belt. It's like lock your legs in place. So.
But I am again. I'm 3 or 4 days into this one and absolutely digging it. Now this is a car I actually would buy. What are you showing me?
What I drove.
I know, but we're talking about the BMW.
Yeah, well, when you're done.
All right.
What's he doing? He's on a different time zone. He had booze with his cigars this morning at 8:30.
Yeah. I had coffee like a schmuck. Yeah. I should have put some whiskey.
Some schnapps. I'm on Austria time. Schnapps. Yeah.
But I do like this M4, so there you go. I'm a fan.
Is it all-wheel drive?
It is, right?
Yeah. Well, they can be either one. They can be rear or all.
I think it is all-wheel drive. I'm just digging it. I'm loving flying around in it. The top's up, the top's down. There's a lot of wind resistance in these cars. They make a
buffeting.
They make that little net thing that comes up, but it's a big contraption. You know, it's kind of big to put in, and then it takes up your trunk space and stuff. With the M8, it had a weird trunk delay. I don't know if you experienced this.
No, but I've had weird issues with BMW trunks.
You press the button. I think this was design. You press the trunk button, put your hands on it to lift it up. It would then start to make a noise. So you do it a second time, and then it would close. So you have to press it, and you have to count to three, and then it would open up automatically.
That's weird. That shouldn't be.
That's called broken. But like the Rolls Royce the other night. Which is owned by BMW.
Yeah.
I got a text from my neighbor at like 10:30 at night. He's like, just so you know, that Rolls Royce, the trunk's open. I don't know if you're airing it out. It's like, oh, fuck.
But generous rich guy. Come and get everything.
Yeah. I thought they were taking that car back.
Oh, yeah. When we had it. It was that night.
Right.
Yeah. It was just
that
funny.
Episode did quite well. People were very happy with it.
Talking to Maybach.
Huh?
I was talking to Maybach people in Austria.
They want in? Or do you want in on them?
I could get us the 12-cylinder limo Maybach.
Oh, boy.
To do an episode in.
That would be a lot of fun.
Can we do that here?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, why don't we do that?
Let's do it.
This time, I want a musical guest to show up, and I can book it. But I want to be able to pick them up and have them come in, play a song, and then kick them out.
It just didn't work out with Reggie. The timing was off.
I will dress appropriately to be a chauffeur in the Maybach.
No, I like... You have another outfit?
He's going to show up in like his secret Nazi gear.
What would you wear?
Well, maybe lederhosen. Maybe not. Maybe some other formal wear. Mid-century formal wear.
Wait, while we're talking about
BMW... you a boss? Yes.
While we're talking about BMW, what is all this about BMW is now done with manual gearboxes?
Yeah, they're saying it's Euro 7 emission. They just can't make it work.
And dual clutch transmissions.
Because the automatic is so good, why would you have a dual clutch? And dual clutches, remember, they're harder to package. They're weird shaped. Well, same as they're hard to cool. There's a lot of oiling issues. Automatics just work great.
Be careful of that. I'll have to get you another one, but I think the...
I won't touch it. But anyways, yeah. So they're saying Euro 7 because they can't control the RPMs at various speeds in a manual that... They won't be able to pass. They're also phasing out gasoline engines, so it's like, you know, it's not.
The current M2 will perhaps be the final M car model to have a manual transmission option.
Mm. Final new car, yeah.
Mm.
So,
unbelievable, right?
I think the M2 is better with a dual clutch, is it a dual? Whatever it is, I think it's a dual in the M2. That's a better car.
Yeah, it's a little depressing.
But speaking of manuals, like that Toyota I brought, can we talk about that for 2 seconds?
I guess.
GR Corolla. Do you guys know about this thing?
No.
It's the greatest. It's
I think Matt
car.
Farah had it.
He might.
I think we saw it a few months back. Yeah, it's very
it's the
nice.
Greatest.
What's GR? Godzilla Rodan?
It's Gazoo Racing, but it's a 1.5-liter three-cylinder that makes 300 horsepower.
That's wow. Amazing.
So it's making 100 horsepower per half liter. It's like, it's insane.
That's insane.
It's insane. It's all-wheel drive, and the default is like 60-40 front-rear split. You can make it 50-50. You can make it 30-70. It changes the steering. Carbon fiber roof. It's my next
what
car.
What does it weigh?
Nothing. It's very light. It's like, you know, probably 3,200 pounds, something like that. It's awesome.
How did they get this idea together? Because it's brilliant, but it runs counter to everybody else's thinking.
So before this year, who won Le Mans the last 5 years?
Right.
Yeah, Toyota, right? I mean, and so their chairman, Mr. Toyota, loves racing. He's been pushing hard for, like, fun cars. They did the GR Yaris in Europe. big hit. And then they don't sell the Yaris here. Can't crash test it, but we sell a lot of Corollas. So they made a much better version called the GR Corolla. And it's
didn't the Toyota
awesome.
Car hit a squirrel?
It did hit a squirrel.
At Le Mans? Did you hear about this, Zuckerman? Yeah, it jammed right into it. And it actually took them out of the race a little bit, right? Knocked them down?
They were sort of gaining a little bit, maybe, on the Ferrari. Was the last few hours of the race, Ferrari was ahead. But then there was a squirrel and the Toyota crashed and took them out of, like, there was no chance of them catching up after the crash. There was maybe
squirrel.
Yeah, the national
squirrel, Zuckerman. I know.
It's the ghost of Berlusconi.
Autoblog says Toyota may have lost at Le Mans because of a squirrel.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Lucky squirrel. I'd say it's a lucky squirrel for Ferrari.
How does that little car drive? That's interesting.
You would love it, dude. You would just love it.
Yeah, it's
does
fabulous.
It out Lotus a Lotus?
No, it's different. It, if you like hot hatches, if you like WRXs, like right. this is what the new WRX should have been, and Subaru kind of missed the boat pretty wide. You know, this is like they really did a good job. You know, I mean, I'm literally when my Alpha goes away, this is my next car.
Really?
Yeah, I love it. I love it. We had it at our Performance Car of the Year event, and like I was chasing it in a Lamborghini Technica, and like. Couldn't on a windy road, you just can't catch it.
What does a 1.5 liter engine weigh in this car?
Nothing. I mean, nothing.
A couple hundred pounds.
Yeah, but also, and it sounds cool because like right. five cylinders are weird, three cylinders are weird.
Right.
So it sounds different. It's got three exhaust pipes, one per cylinder. It's just, it's a bizarre little car. I think you would like it.
I'm just fascinated.
He likes like little cars.
Well, yeah. I just think like it's like almost a two stroke engine in a car.
Yeah. And it's just, but you know what? It's like, you know, some cars, like, you have to put them in sport mode for them to get special.
Right.
Like, they're kind of dull until you do that. This is like, it's just like, you know, it's like straining at the bit. It's just awesome. So,
what do you do with a car like that?
I'm going to drive it around town.
You'd have to get a bright color. I would actually recommend the red. I like the red on that.
So, I'm going to order the red, and I'm probably going to wrap it like a different color.
Yeah.
I don't like red. I'm like orange or something.
What about dazzle or some sort of
yellow,
reflective, rusty, gold, purplish and
gold?
Yeah, make it crazy.
Probably orange.
Wow. So yeah. This you're going to buy this car?
Yeah, it's my next car.
Wow.
Yeah. Carbon fiber roof. Come on.
Well, that's all right.
It just makes the steering awesome. Like, yeah. It's just super stiff up top.
It does seem like the ultimate kid car. What do they cost?
I think this one's like 40.
That's it?
Yeah.
I think there's a cheaper one that doesn't have the carbon roof and doesn't have some other stuff. And there's a crazy one, the track only one, which has no rear seat and some other shit that's like 50,000. But I think this is 40. The problem is they're selling for 70 and people are buying them at 70.
Right.
So,
but you can get it for sticker wear. Yeah. Would you start chipping it and having some fun with it and make it crazy or not?
I don't know how much you need to chip it. That's the thing. It's like,
it's already fun.
It's got Pilot Sport 4s. It's the same tires probably as the M4.
We get the track car registered for road use.
Yeah.
No, the track car is road legal. It's like, you know how the GT3, they pull the rear seat?
Yeah.
So they pull the rear seat of a Corolla. Like, it's insane. Yeah, it's totally
insane.
That's
fun.
Yeah. It's always
like those guys who have GT3s that put the rear seat back in.
Yeah.
That always makes me laugh.
I had a friend who did that.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah.
So anyways,
like, just buy something else. How do you resell that car? Oh, you went out again. You went out. Hold, talk.
Hello.
Yeah, that's weird. Maybe the microphone knows when it doesn't want to hear from you anymore. Oh, and it just turns you off.
Maybe.
You know who we'd like to hear from? Our friends at Nord.
Nord.
Are you a Nord? Nord is the most popular VPN available. Get online protection with a single click. Stay safe from malware with threat protection. Dark Web Monitor notifies you if someone leaks your credentials. Meshnet allows you to connect to your devices remotely and securely. Dedicated IP helps you avoid captchas and block lists. It's more than a VPN, Nord VPN. They also do not track or share what you do online. Very important to you, Johnny. And what you're up to. Your data is always protected by the next generation encryption. There's even a kill switch to make sure your data is never exposed. Virtual private networks, you need one if you're going to be online, get on a plane, anywhere where you're using Wi-Fi, you want to be clicking this thing on NordVPN. 30-day money-back guarantee for all users, dedicated apps on all major platforms. One account, protects up to 6 devices. And as a bonus, and you will use this, NordPass Password Manager. What is that? 1 password, and then it fills everything else in for you. You got to check it out. Get your exclusive SCR and NordVPN deal here at nordvpn.com/spike911. nordvpn.com/spike911. It's risk-free with Nord's 30-day money back.
Nord.
Guarantee. Nord. Say Nord, everyone.
Nord.
Nord. That's all they want from ads is name recognition. So if we just keep saying Nord.
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 It's very close to nerd, but not as fun. All right, let me see what else I got to talk about here. We're not ready for Dear Zuckerman's yet.
Mm.
Or maybe we are. We're getting close. I saw Scott Dixon got in a fight with Will Power. Did you see that?
Yes.
What the hell was that about?
It was one of those, like, I was looking at Instagram with the sound off, so I have no idea. But
they went into a turn or something. But I got pissed. It was like, hey, don't, you know. But what really occurred to me was that I hope this isn't the Zuckerman sticker turning Dixon into Zuckerman, and he's going to be fighting.
You know,
I'm not going to cry about that.
I didn't want to bring it up, but I was in the garage, and yes. I took a look at Scott's helmet.
Yes.
No Zuckerman sticker.
Oh.
Missed the podium by 1.
Where? At Le Mans?
He was 4th, not 3rd.
Well, that's on his Indy car. He can't.
No. It was his helmet. It's on his helmet. And I was looking at his...
Wait, are we talking Le Mans or Indy?
Le Mans right now.
There you go.
Didn't have the Zuckerman stuff.
There you go. And then his behavior's not right.
Yeah.
He loses.
You're saying Caddy had that sticker.
Of course.
Podium.
Obviously.
I mean, you know.
What about the sticker he was wearing and he got in a fight?
Didn't see that helmet.
He didn't get in a fight. Will Power came after him like a big-ass baby because they crashed in a turn. Me, I'm going to fight in his outfit, his coveralls. It's so stupid. It's so stupid. I'm going to fight you. You shouldn't hit me in the turns.
Go play hockey, Will. You want to fight? Jesus play Christ. Hockey.
Yeah. Leave Dixon alone. But
Scott could probably, like, he's probably one of those guys that can, like, fight, like New Zealander, you know?
Well, Dixon's under SCR protection. You don't want to upset SCR Nation. And that's what you're threatening to do.
Or his lawyer.
You don't mess with one of our guys. Or go ahead. We don't care.
Have at it, Will.
Oh, here was the here was the squirrel story. I had all of that right here. It's unbelievable. All right. The only other thing I wanted to cover here, I think we've covered a lot, is this lithium replacement battery. Did you read this new battery substance that they're going to be using to replace lithium EV batteries?
No.
That are 99.7% efficient after 400 hours of use.
I did not.
Crab shells.
Oh.
But will they smell?
The crabs. Now we're talking about things I like.
You mix them with diarrhea.
Ooh, I got the crabs. Put them in my Tesla. A team of scientists at the school's Center for Materials Innovation found that crustaceans like crabs and lobsters contain a chemical in their shells called chitin. Which can be used to power batteries when combined with zinc. University of Maryland study also says that chitin zinc batteries were 99% efficient, 99.7 after 400 hours of use, and they can be made very, very cheaply at scale.
Great, except no more lobster for you. No more lobster biscuits.
Well, I was thinking about that, but you don't eat the shells, right? We discard the shells, right?
Yeah, but if they've taken the shells, they're taking the meat, or there's going to be a combine where they maximize the
breeding. Usage. They're going to breed them.
I don't know. Well, wouldn't you just back your truck to up to Legal Seafoods at the end of every night and just take all their shells?
No, you wouldn't do that.
You wouldn't? Why?
Well, I mean, somebody
would.
Do the
cooked shells work? Do they have to be raw shells? What's the deal?
Look, there's a new awesome battery technology being developed every day in labs. Something that, you know, there's going to be... Solid state's the big hope because Toyota...
Right.
I don't know if you heard this. Toyota's announced that their next solid-state battery that they're working on is going to be viable soon, can go 900 miles on a charge and weighs nothing. It's like a tiny little thing.
Wow.
So
is where I was going with it.
Yeah,
it was for you, Johnny. Zuckerman, you know, you can tell me too. But You know, every, you know, I had mentioned last week that, you know, people call me up for car recommendations. I have a lot of folks going, can't go near Tesla anymore because of the Elon Musk factor. And, you know, I point them in the direction of Mercedes EQ right now. If they're truck people, Rivian, you know, but I found myself remembering that about a year ago, I had heard about the promise of these 400 to 25 to 600 mile to a charge electric cars. Where are we on the timeline? With you just dropped out again. Here, go ahead, talk.
Lucid,
yeah,
Lucid,
you're good.
Lucid's had a 500 mile car for 18 months now,
right?
So you know it works on lithium ion, but there will be something that replaces lithium ion. There will be a lighter technology.
So when are we getting up to 500 or 600 with lithium ion like Lucid? When are the other car manufacturers going there is the question.
What Lucid did that was so smart was they miniaturized everything, which increased efficiency. So it's going to be the next generation of motors that everyone makes will just be much smaller. They're going to take a Lucid apart. It's going to take them 4 years to do that.
Right.
But even with that, the Lucid's still 5,200 pounds. Right. So you want to get 1,000 pounds at least out. And you can do that with just a different, you know, forget about like liquid batteries as we know them. Get to solid batteries, which can be made of like maybe silicon, maybe iron, but pretty light, not a liquid. And they'll be much smaller. And again, sounds like Toyota's been working on it. And they had an announcement like 2 weeks ago that, soon, I think 2025, six, there'll be a solid state battery that goes 900 miles per charge. That'll be it. That's
is it game over? Batteries win.
Yeah.
Are we there?
When you get to that point, how do you ignore that?
Well, you hear people saying there's the infrastructure argument, and then there's the people that'll tout hydrogen.
It works. It's a very solid technology, and it's probably great for like a cruise ship, but it's kind of also greenwashing for the petroleum industry because you got to burn something to make the hydrogen unless you're making it totally with solar. But if you're making it totally with solar, why not just use solar energy to charge a battery? You know, because remember, a hydrogen car has to have a big ass battery on it because the fuel cell stack, you know, it creates electricity, which doesn't go right to the motor. It gets stored in a battery that then goes to the motor. So it's extra heavy. You know what I mean?
What about internal combustion engines that run on hydrogen? Is that a possibility?
Again, you gotta make the hydrogen. You might as well just put in gasoline at that point because you're probably burning natural gas to create the hydrogen or burning coal or something.
And our taste changed slowly, Zucker. I mean, remember what we all thought about the 918 when it came out? We were like, not really interested. Now you'd kill for one.
Right.
Absolutely kill for one. And here we come with the Mission X where you get excited, but then you go, oh, it's all electric. Am I really going to dig this thing?
Yeah, you are.
You are. You'll get there. I mean, I'm not even here. Fully sold on the Mission X myself, and I like electric cars, but I know where I've come from the last three decades and watching technology change, and it's always ahead of me. And then I go, oh, I guess they knew what they were doing.
Well, you know, I've been driving the Taycan a lot, and it's fantastic.
That's a cool car.
Really could get 1,000 pounds out of the car and double the range, it's a no-brainer.
Right. No-brainers.
Did your comedian friend from New York have a Mission X opinion?
We didn't do a show.
No, but I mean, just...
We didn't even discuss it.
Okay.
We'll wait for him to come on the show. You know what we haven't asked you about, though, Zuckerman, was your trip to visit your mom. Do you have anything to say about it?
Well, I will tell you. Okay, I asked my mom about the memory people, of course. That's one of the first things after I say, hello, how are you? What's up with the memory people?
Well, explain to the folks who didn't hear the other show what you're talking about. Right.
So she's at a place in South New Jersey called Lionsgate. And Lionsgate is... they have independent living. So you can get your own apartment. And they have three phases. They've got independent living, assisted living, and the nursing home. I guess the fourth phase is out the back door.
Right.
But in independent living, people are rather capable.
Dumpster phase.
Yes. And they're rather capable. But my mother has been complaining that they're letting more memory people in. They used to not let the memory
people.
So this means,
and she's talking about people with dementia.
Yes, and some other kind of decline, Alzheimer's, whatever. And her neighbor, as you'll recall from the last episode,
has a tendency to come in my mother's apartment. My mother, who has Parkinson's, has trouble standing up to let someone in, so she'll leave the door unlocked for the caretaker or other people, and sometimes her neighbor, the memory lady, comes in and then bursts into tears because she's in the wrong spot. She doesn't, and my mother says, well, she's afraid. She might attack me. I said, with what? She said, a broom. I said, tell her where the broom is. She'll forget. She'll go somewhere else. Don't worry about it. But I asked her,
oh, no.
What the latest is, and she says now when she encounters the memory, her neighbor, the memory lady in the hallway, the lady points at her and moans. And
what do you mean?
I asked my mother to demonstrate, and she pointed and went, oh, like a zombie.
Oh, no.
I said, well, I asked her to show me. She showed me. I said, well, do it back at her. She'll think she's looking in the mirror. Okay? Just do it back.
I'm going to kill her.
Does she talk at all like you? I've never met this person.
She's very refined.
She's refined.
She's very, you wouldn't even know.
What happened with you?
It's a good question.
That makes no sense.
If you met my father, it makes sense.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
Yes.
My mother, in a way, married down to the doctor. To the ape family.
He's in the Bronx Zoo.
Yes, the combination of Jews and apes made me.
So you didn't stay.
I didn't stay
in the room.
I didn't stay.
Never going to do that.
I'm never staying. She would like
Does
me to
she
stay.
Want, she wants that.
I told you, there's a guest room. And that was the last thing she wanted me to stay in the old folks' home. And I said,
That's such a Jewish mother thing. My mom,
So when
the Catholic mom is different. My mom, who's listening, hi, Mom. She always goes, just lock me away and forget I'm anywhere. Don't worry. Just lock me up. And you don't have to come to visit. Just let me die. The martyr. The Catholic martyr.
Yeah. And then if you didn't come, she'd call you up. How come you didn't come, Spike? Or Michael?
No, she wouldn't do that.
That's the Jewish mother.
That's the Jewish mother.
Yeah. Yep.
My dad would do that.
When she was still alive, I go visit her. And, you know, spend 4 hours sitting there in complete boredom while she's like, you know, zoning out on the TV. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go. She's like, why are you leaving?
when my father's mother passed, Selma was her name. When Selma passed,
Selma.
4'9" if she was, you know, at most, she had
a dwarf.
She had a calendar. She had a calendar where she kept track of all the
dwarves.
Paul was supposed to call me today and didn't. She would walk on the calendar.
She put that on her calendar? Yes. Oh, no.
Nice.
The grandma.
Yep.
Wow. You're very attentive. I can't think of a single time in my life where I called my grandma. Not even once.
Really?
Not even once. No.
Wow. When did she die? How old were you?
I was pretty young. But still, it never even occurred to me. She frightened me a little bit. She was, show up and we'd make jokes. My cousin Earl and I would make jokes about premarital sex and sex before marriage.
Your father's mother?
No. Yeah. She died way before I was even aware of her, I think. And my dad's dad also, died. I just remember he gave me that. He used to get us those Texaco trucks
at the gas station.
I remember that about him. I can't place his voice or anything else, but I remember that truck. It's amazing what imprints on you. Must have been a happy moment. The other two were the Irish side, the crazy Irish side. The dad, the grandfather worked at the New Bedford weights and measures. Went around to make sure deli men weren't ripping people off.
Putting their thumb on the scale, you were getting 1/10 less of a gallon.
And
out of
grandma
your...
was she started life as a maid for Emily Post in Martha's Vineyard.
Whoa.
Was crazy involved in the Catholic Church, traveled with nuns and priests and would, after sermons, would call the priest to her and say, let me talk about what you said and what you should be doing better.
Horrible.
And then gave...
Just like you.
Yes.
Shit, that we know
that might be me. And gave tours of historic New Bedford, Massachusetts.
What was her name?
Margaret Haney.
Oh, you act like Margaret. Margaret Haney?
Harney. That's my mom's maiden name, the Harneys.
Oh, I know Harneys.
The daft Irish branch of my family.
There's some Harneys out here, lawyers, good ones too.
Yeah. It's all right. It's cool.
Drunks.
Well, let's do an ad and then we'll do a Dear Zuckerman. How about that?
Okay, Margaret.
We'll have some fun.
Take
Margaret
me,
Michael Ferriston is my name.
No, Doucette. My mom is loving this. As you guys know, I'm always looking for life hacks. I'm looking for ways to have an easier life, which is why I've come to love and trust AG1 by Athletic Greens. It's an all-in-one formula that makes it easy for me to cover my daily nutritional bases every day. Just came back. Zuckerman, we both just came back from our physicals, right?
Yep.
I did my numbers blasted down. I think it's also tennis. I take AG1, been doing it for a year now. But also tennis, a lot of training. And who knows what is doing what, but I'm not changing any of it. Every scoop of AG1 has 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food super force, whole food sourced ingredients of the highest quality that give me major benefits like mood support, boosted energy, even healthier looking skin, hair, and nails. And I have AG1 delivered to me every month, so it's super easy to make a daily habit. With AG1, taking good care of your body is that simple. That's all you have to do. If you're looking for an easy way to take supplements, Athletic Greens is giving you a free one-year supply of vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/spike911. athleticgreens.com/spike911. That's athleticgreens.com/spike911 for your free stuff. Check it out. You want to support us, you go to our sponsors, you check out the site. If it's for you, good. If not, even just going there, reading about our sponsors, it helps us. All right, let's do some Dear Zuckermans.
Okay, let me pay attention, Peggy.
Okay, let me just see. Let me Peggy. Who's Peggy?
Peggy is short for Margaret for whatever reason.
What?
Yeah.
Maggie.
No, that's like Bud and Wendell.
Yeah.
You got that one wrong.
For some reason.
Let's see. All right, I'll start here. And these are all dad-themed Dear Abby letters that instead Dear Zuckerman is going to answer.
I will sort everyone out.
Dear Zuckerman, I could use some advice on the best response to my father's letters. He cleverly inserts insults into them without writing anything for which he could be criticized. For example, he has always talked about how he hates fat people and I am very overweight. I can certainly read between the lines. Could you recommend a response other than silence? From Illinois. Okay, into it.
Why don't you call your dad up? Tell him he's a fucking asshole. Say, hey, listen, Dad, you know, what's with the passive aggressive bullshit? If you don't like me, don't write to me. If you think I'm fat and gross, just say so. But, you know, don't be passive aggressive about it.
Could you imagine, if you're really fat, your dad writes you.
I hate fat people. Then you hate me.
Yeah. Just call him up and tell him the message isn't lost. But you see, he's doing that to you because he can beat you down and you'll just go eat more food.
He's doing it because he thinks this is the subtle, nice way of telling her she needs to lose weight. Or him.
Whoever. Or he's a feeder, like I think Zuckerman just tried to say. He wants her fat.
He likes her fat?
Yeah, some people like that.
Some people are like that, but I think that this child just needs to confront this person and tell him to back the fuck off.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there's then silence. But this is a person, you're right, Spike, because dad's not getting any response. He's persisting.
Yeah, it's not his problem.
Yeah.
She needs to call up and go, stay out of my life on this one. I got it. You think I don't know I'm fat? I know.
You don't feel shitty because I'm fat?
We're working on ourselves. We're all working on ourselves.
Yeah, you work on your personality.
I've got a mirror. Work on your own letter writers.
Yeah.
Letters, whatever it is. All right, here we go. Number two. This one, a million people sent to you and I, and I'm sure you too, Johnny, but here it is. Dear Zuckerman, when we travel together with our family, our children... My husband buys himself a ticket in first class and puts me and the kids in economy class. He justifies flying alone in first class because of the cost and the fact that our kids, 12 and 16, might feel alone if I were to travel in first with him and leave them in the rear cabin. They're pretty old, dude. My husband has suggested traveling alone on a different flight ahead of us so that we don't feel badly about the disparity. But this does not really address or solve the problem of the inherent selfishness in his thinking. Am I wrong, Zuckerman?
Okay, lady, let me give you a clue here. Okay, the minute that second child turns 18, he's divorcing you. Okay, this is clear evidence. He doesn't like you. He has disdain for you, and he's hiding money from you. If it costs too much for you,
computer. So you better start paying attention to where he's keeping this money, and you better be ready for the counterattack right away.
Boy, I think you're exactly right on
100%,
this.
100%.
You're 100% right.
Yeah.
I had that happen once. My wife and I were on a flight, and like I got upgraded to first or something. And I can't remember what happened. I was putting her in first. This is going to sound so horrible when I'm telling this story. Anyhow, she was like, you take first. I'll be fine in coach or whatever.
Right.
And she never said anything since, but I've regretted it. Like, I should have just.
You shouldn't regret that.
Yeah.
No. I don't know that I've ever done it, but I would definitely do it with my wife. I don't think I could do it by myself. That's really weird. But Zuckerman, I think you are 100% right. The second he said a different flight.
Yeah.
He's saying a different house, a different life, a different everything.
Yeah.
Right.
Your days are numbered, lady, and this is the tell.
Yeah, you can have the mistress on the first flight.
Yeah, that's nuts. Mm. Good letter, though. But you're exactly right. I don't think the response, it was the ethicist in New York.
Yeah, he doesn't get it.
He's a former Letterman writer.
Randy's, I can't remember his last name. Good guy.
What did he say?
I don't know. Didn't read it.
But
I'm sure he...
Tell him how it hurt you.
We didn't read what Randy said. I said he's a good guy.
I know what Randy writes. You know, it's always something mealy. Mealy.
But he should have wrote what you wrote.
Yeah. Get ready. It's coming.
I think you're right, Zuckerman.
I am right.
That's very insightful of you. All right. Letter number three. Dear Zuckerman, my father is 80. In his prime, he was a businessman with a lot of contacts. Most of his friends and siblings are gone now. He doesn't take good care of himself. His hair is unkempt. He goes for weeks without shaving. His pants sag. And worst of all, his fingernails are full of dirt. He doesn't get out much, so I'm not sure it's important to him. My main concern is how to handle this with the funeral home when he dies. This is the jump in the letter. My main concern is how to handle this with the funeral home when he dies. Is this something they would clean? I can't imagine putting anyone through that. It would also not reflect who he really is.
It sure does.
I've never been comfortable confronting Dad about his appearance, and he is sure to have his feelings hurt. Dear Zuckerman, I would appreciate your thoughts on this.
Okay, couple of things.
Okay, wait. Signed, can't confront Dad, a.k.a. Mrs. Lieberman. No, joking. In Indiana. All right. Go ahead.
You know, yes, the funeral home has taken care of this. You don't need to clean the house before the maid comes in this case. You just, you know, yeah, and they're going to charge you for it. They're just going to, it's gold money, and they're going to clean these people up. There are
That's what funeral homes do.
Yes, they put people whose heads have been mashed by tires back together again. They clean up all sorts of foul things.
Any other wounds they can clean up?
Yeah, but you know what? Do your dad a favor. You know what? Do him a favor. He might not recognize it. You tell him, you know, Dad, you let yourself go. Clean your ass, clean yourself up, and let's go out a little bit.
Anybody crushed by a refrigerator, they stitch him right back
up. Yeah.
That's literally what the funeral home does. They make the body presentable. But yes, they would clean his fingernails.
Yeah.
The person who doesn't know this is the person who can't say, clean yourself up. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do.
Bowling ball. Yeah.
You went out. You went out. You're back. Okay. Just don't move too much. I think the mic is back.
I think somebody writes this in.
It's hard to imagine that someone wrote that. That's weird. But again, I would say, don't you want to talk to your dad about it?
Yeah.
Don't you want to confront him a little bit? By the way, as I get older, I kind of feel the same way, right? Well, don't you?
We've seen some very old celebrities
but I'm just saying you personally. Do you really start to want to take care of yourself? I start to let things go. I'm just like,
I'm good about my nails. I think to me,
no, that's not what I meant. I meant in general, I may not be as fastidious as I used to be.
That could well be true.
If I was going to be by myself, Do you know what I'm saying?
That could be true. Lots of old people, they let go. They don't want to shower. They don't want to get wet. Like to get wet.
Really?
My father-in-law, who's 98, has a trick when he showers.
What does he do?
And he doesn't give a fuck about anyone else. He loves it. It cannot be hot enough in his house. If it was 110 degrees outside, he'd still have the heat on high. And he takes a shower, and he comes out. Company be damned, he stands over the vent to let the air come up.
To dry his junk.
Yes, which is probably a half inch above ground level at this point.
You should get him one of those high-speed Dysons.
To what? Slice his
to do what he's doing.
I had to.
No. The Dyson hair dryer that blows at 500 horsepower. He can just do that at his counter.
He is.
So he stands in front of you in a towel.
Yes. And he does not give a F about
wow.
it.
And do you guys ever film this or laugh about it? And
I just laugh about it.
But the grandkids go, what are you doing, Grandpa?
Everybody knows what he's doing. He's kind of proud of it. And I always say to him, Leonard, you're going to burn those. You're going to have a waffle pattern on them because they're so low to the ground.
Oh, no.
I had to do this at Le Mans the other day because we were staying in these like weird shipping container things that are in little private bathrooms.
Right.
Pretty cool. But they, late in the day, they took all the towels out because they thought we were leaving, but it was like, I've been sweating. It's 4 p.m., 5 yeah. p.m. And so I took a shower and there's no towels and I was dripping wet and it was super humid. So they had a floor standing AC unit and it felt so good.
That's weird.
That's disgusting. Why did I have to hear that from you? What was wrong with your shoes and the t-shirt?
Does it?
You're not 98. What are you, 38?
48.
All right. Okay. We have one more letter. Here we go. I saved the best for last. I think I did. Dear Zuckerman, I have an issue with my father and don't know where to turn. I'm concerned because he has developed an unusual habit. He likes to look through the dumpsters behind the grocery store. Initially, he told me it was to get old produce for compost in his garden, but I have learned that he eats some of the things he finds. I have tried telling him this is dangerous. He refuses to listen and insists that what he is doing is safe. And by the way, he has enough money to buy regular groceries. The situation has become critical because he is now planning to cook something he found in the dumpster for a family gathering. I told him he must let people know where it came from so they can make an informed decision about whether they want to eat his dinner, but he said nope. Zuckerman, please help. Signed, grossed out.
Dad's got a frontal lobe issue, Dad's going over the rainbow bridge a little early. Take him to the neurologist. He needs neuropsych testing. He clearly is touched in the head. What they used to call hardening of the arteries. He's
really?
Sclerotic. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if I agree with you on this one, Zuckerman.
He's not right in the head.
You know that thrill you get when you go fishing and you get a fish? Like you just caught something that you could eat? Have you ever seen, there's this great guy on Instagram who takes magnets. He calls it magnet fishing. I think he's based in The Hague or somewhere in Holland. And he throws the magnet in and he pulls out bikes and safes. And it's really fun. I think
he's not eating that. I mean, that's called treasure hunting. This is right. Not treasure hunting. This is
but
eating garbage.
If you found some steak and it was a day or two past due, that's kind of good.
It's eating out of the trash. I mean, this guy's a raccoon now. I mean, it's just here's how he solves this problem.
Yes.
A, he should announce to everybody. By the way, you should all know Dad took this out of the dumpster. And B, what he should do in advance just to make his point with Dad, assuming Dad has his wits about him, he should spread some fancy feast on crackers. Tell his dad that it's pate. Let Dad eat it and say, you know what, Dad? That's cat food. That's the same deal here. What do you think? What are you doing? Nobody wants to be tricked in what they eat.
So wait, Spike, your point is that he's like a hunter-gatherer?
I think there's some element of this where he gets a dopamine hit. And,
oh, he does.
Apparently doesn't need the money, but whenever you find like $5, you get excited. Hey, I got a free $5.
This is like when Dennis Wilson was going dumpster diving with the Manson family in his Rolls Royce. Like he didn't.
Right. I mean, this is, he could be getting off on it. There could be a cheap thrill that he hates his family and he's feeding them trash.
Trash.
I got something good for you to eat. Trash. Right. It's fresh. It's not good enough if it's not out of the trash.
I like that he told one person though, I'm going to make a dinner. I'm excited. You got to tell him. Nope, I'm not telling anybody where I got this dinner. I'll tell them after because they're not doing something they should
tell
be doing.
Tell them in advance and nobody shows up. He can eat his trash himself.
I kind of admire the guy. I kind of admire the guy. I get the sense that grocery store trash is not as bad as actual trash.
Okay, but
don't you think that that's like expiration date? We have to throw it
out? I'm Team Zuckerman on this one. It's still in a rotting, disgusting trash. Have you looked in your trash can after they dump it out? Like the mung, the liquid mung that's down there?
Yeah, it's gross. I mean, what comes next? Recycling toilet paper?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's bring it all back to the poops.
Yeah.
Have you noticed, have your neighbors gotten crazy about these garbage can cleaning places? They're like car wash guys now.
No, I need one.
My neighborhood.
That ain't happening in my neighborhood.
The truck shows up and they clean your garbage cans.
I want to tell you, do you remember our old friend who lived in our neighborhood,
yeah.
Rent?
Yep.
He had that idea 20 years ago.
Yeah, well.
And I said, nah, nah.
I need it.
And it's big.
I need it.
They show up, they clean them, they make them spotless.
We had one that was so disgusting. I called the city and, like, I need a new trash can. They're like, is it broken? I'm like, no, it's gross. They're like, no, you can't replace it.
You know what? You
smash it then. Just smash it.
Yeah, I could have done that. But I was like, I didn't know what to, I panicked. Dumped vinegar and bleach in it.
You haven't ever sprayed out? You put bleach in your own trash can and done it yourself?
This was beyond. I did that, but
that seems really dangerous.
You'd have to see where
bleach?
I live.
To your clothes.
No, you're
going to splatter and you're going to ruin your clothes.
No, it's more like I don't have drainage you'd have to see where I live, but it would just dump right into my lovely neighbor's
yard. You can get a new one. It's really
easy. Okay, so
I just did.
Should we experiment?
No, there's 100 businesses. You can just Google them, though. They'll come clean your garbage can. Yeah, I'm so excited. That I can help you with this.
Oh,
such but a you know,
and the
problem.
Flip side is I just replaced most of my garbage cans.
No, how do you replace them?
And well, you call 311 and you get connected to a lady, and you talk. It's amazing how, and she goes, "What's the serial number on your garbage can?" And then she had everything. And then a week later, this guy shows up.
What?
I see the truck go down. I have a nice chat with him. And he replaces
is this
the garbage
like
cans.
That
Brentwood
happens anywhere
thing?
But Brentwood.
Yeah, this
no, it does.
Brentwood.
No,
call 311
because my neighborhood. I did that, and they're like, "Is it physically broken?" I go, "No, it's disgusting."
Well, mine were broken, but they break from the truck. The lids break off.
And, yeah,
break the lids.
Break mine.
You just look, dude. Just break one.
Break them.
Just say it's broken, and they'll replace it.
Yeah.
But it's one of the things about LA that works quite well.
Are you going to get your trash cans cleaned?
No. Mine are they're out way in the backyard. I don't smell them. But if I had another house where there was proximity, you have to do that. You have to do it.
Yeah.
Your house starts to smell when you open the window up.
There's a new thing some people do.
Yes.
They freeze their trash before trash day.
What? Really?
Yeah, I heard somebody in my office says his wife puts the trash in the freezer.
With the food?
Why? To freeze it so it doesn't stink up outside, and then they maintain their trash in their fridge and then put it outside.
I would not allow
trash
such
day.
A thing.
And I said, that's
no.
There's no putting trash in the
with the ice
food.
Cream you're gonna eat.
Like, right,
you're gonna be everything in a freezer leaches smells out anyway.
Right,
yuck.
Right, people are weird.
That's horrible.
People are weird.
Yeah.
Don't you remember metal trash cans in New York City with garbage just vomiting out onto the sidewalk and nobody
came? I think this is a common area of weirdness. I mean, there was that Curb episode where the people said, don't use the trash can in the kitchen. We don't use that. It's just for show.
Oh, right.
I'm kind of like them. I don't want trash sitting there.
So
I don't like
funny.
Trash sitting there.
I always just go outside with everything and put it in the trash can.
Yeah.
And my wife, I'll see her dumping like stuff in the kitchen can where I'm like,
yeah.
That goes outside.
They'll dump soup in there.
That's a meat diaper.
Like, they curl it like across the room, and it hits the side of it. It just goes in, and then your whole house is stinky.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
All right. Well, we're going to end it on the trash note, guys.
Trash. You're trash to me.
You're trash.
You're trash to me.
We've covered it all. BMWs, the memory people, trash.
You and your trash.
Dear Zuckerman, the cool Toyota, Johnny's new car.
One day. When my lease is up.
Yeah. And I just got a Ducati, which I'm going to ride this week, and I'll tell you guys all about next week. What?
Oh, I need to get in touch with Cake. Bike people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm going to, for Rennsport, I want to bring a Cake.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, we should bring Cakes.
That's a fantastic
idea. Because did you hear? It's like sold out, biggest event in the history of Laguna Seca.
Well, one
tickets.
Of our sponsors, and I'll tell you about after the show, wants to fly us up there, put us up, and have us do a branded show up there if we want to go.
I'll be up there.
Fly us up.
You're already there.
I'm
Look,
already
now
there.
It's already cheaper.
I want a Cake. Well, they can pay me what they're... No, I'm just kidding. I want a Cake.
I wonder if they could get it up there. I'll bet they could.
I'll put it in the back of the Taycan I'm taking up.
I don't think it would fit.
both seats down would fit. I'm going to get the wagon.
You could get the. You know, I've just gone through like the tow hitch racks that you could use for electric bikes because you have two, but there are a bunch of weight restrictions on them. It's really interesting. And when it's too heavy, that little that metal breaks and it just falls down from hitting the bumps. But I think with one, it's easy. It's very easy.
I was just thinking if I get the Taycan wagon, seats down, that one
it
I
won't
like,
work. I'm telling you. Really? You don't want to have to do it without taking wheels. And they're very big and heavy electric bikes, and it's very easy. Just get something with a tow hitch, and you're done.
I was going to take a Taycan as a problem. All right, we'll figure this out later.
All right,
maybe the Rivian.
You're trash.
Yeah, or we have them just bring it up there for you.
Yeah.
Do it.
For us.
There you go. All right, we'll see you next week. Spike's Car Radio.
Thanks for listening to Spike's Car Radio, brought to you by Hangar 56. Listen to new episodes every Wednesday, and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time, or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.